This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
It now. Berry into the slot for Tavares. Tried to get a shot away and it was blocked. And two of the, and now the Blue Jackets have a break in over the line. They score! Pierre-Luc Dubois with the hat trick. And the Columbus Blue Jackets on a turnover by Tavares and an odd man rush have won the game in overtime.
Therapy session underway. The Leafs fall 4-3 here in overtime in Game 3. What a game for Pierre-Luc Dubois. It's time for Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick with you at the Golden Muzzy at Gord Stellick, where you can follow along on Twitter. Plenty of fallout from what's just transpired here at Scotiabank Arena. Hoping to join up with Chris Johnson of Sportsnet, Sportsnet.ca, and Hockey Night of Canada. We'll have the Dairy Farmers performer of the game. We'll hear from Sheldon Keefe. We'll hear from the players involved, but what a deflating loss, Gord.
Nick, it's like a bad dream that you go get counseling for to eradicate it, and then it reappears. And we talked about it in the after regulation time that 7 years ago this all started with that lead against the Boston Bruins, that the first unbelievable collapse, and no Leaf players are left on this team. Nazem Kadri and Jake Gardner were the last two. And then there were no playoffs, and then there was that Washington series, which was kind of the coming out, and they got a great standing ovation because they got back to the playoffs. And you know, I remember last year, you know, Mark Savard did it 1 year, and we did Game 7. And, first of all, Game 6 was like tonight, that the afternoon game in Scotiabank Arena. Leafs had a 1-0 lead to close out the series, and then someone turned the power off, and the Maple Leafs lost their energy, their jam, whatever. And then they end up losing the series, and that's kind of like what happened again tonight, Nick. I'm incredible. We'll talk about things. We'll keep perspective about things. There's still two more games to happen, but from a Leaf point of view, I'm really disappointed in their inability after 40 minutes. They're holding a 3-goal lead, and the inability to do the simple, smart, hockey, intelligent things. And then in overtime, you know, someone needed to rise to the occasion, and in general. And we still have two more games that Austin Matthews, John Tavares, William Nylander, Mitch Marner, Freddie Anderson, Morgan Rielly, whatever, can rise to the occasion. But Pierre-Luc Dubois, I mean, you know, he brought it, right? Artemi Panarin's gone, and Pierre-Luc Dubois tonight brought that to the next level, that from regular season excellence to a postseason excellence, he made a difference in his team, maybe changing the fortunes of this entire playoff series.
Same old song and dance from my point of view, Gord. This team has an inability to put the foot on the throat of the opponent, whether it's the regular season or the playoffs. I hate to dwell back on their various series with Boston, even to an extent when they played Washington. They made it close there in Game 6. But just the inability to close out games is what gets me, because the Maple Leafs were in firm control of this hockey game. They were up 3-0, feeling good about life. Nick Robertson scores his first NHL goal. They got a power play goal finally getting on the board, special teams wise in this series. And then they stopped skating, Gord. But I can't say it's the first time we've seen this since we've worked together the last couple of years included, not just this season. Even under Mike Babcock, I sort of chuckled and tweeted about it. I would love to see Mike Babcock's face tonight saying, "I told you so," because it was the same old song and dance. Not to get angry about the situation, but we've seen this before, have we not?
Yeah, well, Yes. I mean, you know, it's kind of like comparing horrible moments in your life, and you go, "Hey, what was your worst day in your life?" And you bring the top five and you revisit them, and you know, so like last year, Game 7, Freddie let the softest goal, the most unfortunate goal in the first period. Jake Gardner had incredible misfortune. So there were these kind of gaffes. What got me was this had been a playoff series that they had played eight solid. Not 7 out of 8. They played 8 solid playoff periods. And then they, like, just the foot off the gas is right. I'm still, like, it's like an accident scene and you're talking to the law enforcement officials and you're trying to, I'm trying to recreate what happened tonight, because I don't get it. You were so in control And good on John Tortorella for changing goaltenders. Why it would motivate Columbus, it should have motivated the Leafs, because Jonas Korpisalo, who'd played phenomenal and just let one so-so goal in, he gets pulled. And I thought, he's not waving the white flag, but it's almost like that. It's an act born of desperation. And all of a sudden, the desperate hockey Columbus reacted to, and they sat back, they retreated, they stopped taking opportunities when they had some great offensive chances. You heard there Tavares coughing the puck up. Matthews coughed the puck up with a minute left in regulation time. Like, they kind of go, who the hell are these guys all of a sudden? These guys that have played so well for eight periods. What exactly has gone awry?
That's the concerning part to me. You look at the, and again, mistakes are made. You're tired. You're gassed in OT. But John Tavares, for how good he looked in game two of this series, Gord, it looked like he had snowshoes on in this game. It was a tough night for the captain. And just, you know, you're not blaming it on one. You lose as a team, win as a team. And just a tough giveaway. Again, a lot of credit to Pierre-Luc Dubois. He was outstanding in this game. And a lot of people make much of what John Tortorella and the way he acts as a coach and the way he coaches. But he knows how to ignite his players. I thought Dubois was outstanding. Because, Gord, again, you look at these two rosters on paper. There's no chance in hell Columbus should be in this series. But man, they play with a lot of passion. They work their tails off. And I think they deserve a lot of credit for being up 2-1 in this series. But certainly the Maple Leafs had them. I mean, they were finished. And you're right about the goalie change. They make the change, and it gets Columbus going. And I don't know about you. We talked about this at the second intermission. You just had that feeling. That's why I mentioned the first 5 minutes were of vast importance. And even just, you know, they had that minute three on the power play to start the third period, Gord. And it was John Tavares again. They couldn't even gain entry to the zone. And you just had that feel to it, didn't it?
Well, you know, I'll tell you, there was a moment there, and I'm trying to remember exactly, early on, that you're right about it, that, okay, they didn't do anything on the power play, and then they got hemmed in their own zone big time, and Morgan Riley made a great flip out that didn't quite ice it. So I said, that's huge. So they got to make a change without an icing. Yeah, but if you're thinking that way, 2.5 minutes into the period, you know, that's not a good way to be. And I'll go back and give the Leafs credit for their try and their passion and their compete for eight periods. I will. Like, you know, that doesn't eradicate all that. And point being is, even though Winnipeg's down right now, I said, you know, Connor Hellebuyck has a chance to kind of be the guy like he's been all year for Winnipeg. Well, it's going to be interesting tomorrow. These guys are going to be exhausted. Back-to-back games, at least they don't have to travel. Because that's quite often back-to-back's a problem about it. It's never usually home and home. It's usually you're away, so there's late-night traveling involved. So you're going to get back at it rather quickly. And when you lose, you want to get back at it quickly. That's the one thing. And now you got a chance to be a Pierre-Luc Dubois. And the Maple Leafs have a chance to say, let's forget that last period. And keep in mind, overtime, Columbus outshot them 6-0 to start overtime. So who came out loaded for bear early in overtime when you were hoping you'd get a response by the Leafs? Now, after that, it remained relatively even for a bit. There were some great chances both ways. Sometimes they didn't shoot, but they're, you know, puck possession and that, until in the waning moments Dubois scored. But so on the positive side, the Leafs have a chance to do that. Otherwise, this becomes another unmitigated, disastrous playoff disappointment. Uh-huh. It's just unbelievable. It really does. If they do not win the next two games based on what happened in the third period and overtime tonight, it's just inexcusable to do this year after year after year. And Nick, your point, and I've said the word closing the deal. You know, you close the deals on your contracts. You fought hard for those.
Exactly.
And I'm not being a smartass about it. I'm just saying, you know, whatever you get. Good on you. And I they're elite players. It's an elite core. But another year to go home and not win a playoff round? No. That's not in the cards. Here you got Pierre-Luc Dubois and the Columbus Blue Jackets. Theoretically, we'll have 2 years winning playoff rounds.
And we're going to start talking about the buzz phrase culture change if the Maple Leafs lose this series. I'm sorry to say that, but we're headed in that direction with the conversation. But again, let's not jump to any conclusions. The Maple Leafs down 2-1 in this series. Just a very, very difficult, tough loss to swallow at this point in time. Sitting here late night on August 6th, a 4-3 loss. Pierre-Luc Dubois, the hat trick. a semi-breakaway, an OT, great backhand. I can't really fault Freddie Anderson in this hockey game. I just think the Maple Leafs sort of gave up on this game. I know maybe I'm a bit too blunt in the way I'm calling it, but they had Columbus in this hockey game. It was over, in my opinion. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick here on Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Again, as Gord referenced, the back-to-back, which is important to note. I threw this out on Twitter. You would have to think that they're going to go with Merzlikins now, Elvis Merzlikins. And you start to wonder if now he's in the heads of the Maple Leafs, right? It was Korpisalo last game. And then for some reason, it brought shade, sadly, of the David Ayers game where Toronto didn't want to shoot the puck, Gord. It took him a while, but they ended up putting 21 pucks on net and 21 stops from Merzlikins. So that's the one thing I'm looking forward to as we set up game four already. It's just a hot start. Show me you want it, basically.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you said that about the David Ayers game where I think they got 2.1 shots. That was the part that was
sad,
absurd.
Gordo.
That the number on, but Merzlikins, I don't think is in their head right now. I mean, they were their own worst enemy tonight in Columbus. Like, you know, the part is that game number two, Kyle Clifford's hit really set the tone his first shift, and it's almost like when Columbus made it 3-1. Then all of a sudden, they just got right in Freddie's wheelhouse. They got Freddie frustrated. They started doing the pushing, shoving, being aggressive. You know, the kind of hockey we said, it went back to Columbus hockey. We said that in game number one. They'll be physical. They'll knock you off the puck. The D, the D will have to watch out because Columbus will come hard, make you cough the puck up, and that's what they do. In game number two, and basically for two periods of this game, you played your style, that you moved the puck, you made it smart, you didn't get in trouble. So it was irrelevant. They couldn't hit what they couldn't catch because you were making the smart plays. And then all of a sudden you got the rinky dinky, you know, little stuff that you're going, no, like even if you're watching your kid play hockey, you go, no, you don't pinch there. No, you don't make that pass. No, you know, like you got to make the safe pass outside on the boards. You got, you know, on and on and on. Like you're playing with a lead and there's a different way you play with a lead, and they didn't do it.
The word is urgency, Gord. You see the upper echelon teams in this league, especially, again, when it's closeout time, the urgency they play with. You're totally right. They let up. Like they were playing a perfect hockey game for the first half of this game, at least, in terms of the way they were playing positionally. Yeah, they had a couple breakdowns, but all in all, it was impressive. They were out to a 3-0 lead. It seemed like they had Columbus foiled. The Jackets seemed down and out in this series, quite frankly. Considering how much time's left in this series, they were finished. It was 2-1. Toronto had their number. They look forward to closing this series out tomorrow night. And then lo and behold, we're here conversing about an OT victory for Columbus. But urgency is probably the word I would use. And you just got to hope, Gord, that Toronto has short memories and the leadership core really steps up. I was going to ask you, is it egregious to suggest Austin Matthews may have played one of his best games of his career? I thought he was remarkable in this hockey game. There's not enough adjectives to describe how good Austin Matthews is in this game. Mitch Marner still stymied to score, but I thought that line was incredible. And you know, credit to Sheldon Keefe. He kept putting them out there and putting them out there and putting them out there. We saw the fourth line used a bit much more because of the fact that it is a back-to-back, but I think the Tavares line needs to be better front and center for me leading into game four. I just didn't think they were good enough. Willie Nylander scores that goal. He had a hot start, but in general, you need your whole team going. You know, it's easy to, pinpoint a couple guys, right?
Yeah, the one that I'm not going to quite totally agree with you on Austin Matthews, just because he only had one shot, I think. He had no shots for a while.
I thought he was controlling the play, you know?
But he had the tough gaff with a minute left, too. Yeah. But even game number one, he was the only guy when they had a bad game making any chances. And again, you're right about that, about John Tavares certainly has to play more like he did in game number two. You know, even a guy like Ilya Mikheyev, like, let's get those guys kind of going a little bit more as far as that goes. But, plain and simple, we know what it's all about. They knew what it was about in game number one. They had to win game number two. And now tomorrow, they really, really, really have to win game number four. And it's funny, this whole thing about how long you're going to be in the bubble, and we've talked about it, 8 teams are out of the bubble in a hurry. The New York Rangers already have.
Yep.
You know, so camp bubble becomes a quick experience for a number, it could end for the Maple Leafs tonight. It could end for the Winnipeg Jets tonight. Like, everyone, it's going to end on Sunday for 7 other teams in general. And, wow, to go to all that effort and come back and do whatever, we'll still enjoy the hockey. We'll watch the next 16 games. We always do that. But, you know, come on, man. We really expected for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Like, you know, technically, this isn't even really considered a playoff round. It's a play-in round. So, you know, at some point you're expecting to find ways to have some kind of playoff success. And And I'm, you know, was it early in the season? Tampa Bay came back early on with, like, what was it, the third or fourth home game, Nick? Like,
I think it was Montreal that came back from a 3-goal lead to beat the Maple Leafs.
So there's a few of them. The point being, there's a few of them. They kind of all blend together over the last two years. And I thought Sheldon Keefe's line in January that we're, you know, like, we're an immature team mentally, you know, hockey sense wise. And I thought it was a good line. They're not a young team anymore. I mean, they're young, but they've got enough experience. And man, just certain games, like I said, those Florida, I know they happen over an 82-game regular season. I know this year was a little less than 82 games, but they had too many of those games that you kind of said, are you guys here at all? And it's kind of like that's what the third period was tonight for the Toronto Maple Leafs against Columbus.
And again, we are trying our best to get you, the Leafs fans, through this. Same old story for me, at least, in terms of my personal opinion covering this team the last couple of years, you know, being a Leafs fan as long as I have been as well. There's been a lot of heartache, normally against the Boston Bruins, but now it's Columbus. They're a pesky bunch. You know, I think if there's one thing we've learned from the postseason last year and also into this year, Gordo, is just expect the unexpected and never stop playing. Look at last night. You know, Pittsburgh, a perennial contender to win this cup again, is up against it against the 12th seeded Montreal Canadiens, who had a 0.1% chance of going to the Stanley Cup playoffs just because of hard work, determination, and never counting yourself out. And I think you got to play. You know, it's cliche to say, from the opening puck drop to the final buzzer. And you know, while I can't stand and say, you know, Pittsburgh and Edmonton were evident of the same thing the Maple Leafs were tonight, they just got to play a bit more harder and show a bit more urgency, in my opinion. And this goes to the leadership core. That's the group I'm looking at for game four tomorrow night to square this series and set up a decisive game five. You know, Auston Matthews, Mitch Marner, Willie Nylander, Morgan Rielly. I don't think Frederick Anderson's been an issue in this series. John Tavares. I mean, those are the guys who need to lean this team in the right direction and finally get over this hurdle, because enough's enough, Gordo.
Yeah, in Chicago's case, you look at it. Jonathan Toews, Patrick Kane, Duncan Keith, the curse of playing guys with three Stanley Cup rings has come back. But then, you know, let's look more at Montreal. This is where the Leafs, they have it on the forwards. I love Kevin Bieksa and the Trident line, the Trident decor. But, you know, Shea Weber and Jeff Petrie and Ben Chiarot. Like, you know, they've just come up big besides Carey Price. I mean, they really have. And this is, it's not going to be the D for the Maple Leafs, but the other guys. And, you know, anyway, again, the talking will be on the ice tomorrow and hopefully on Sunday. But, this is a tough one. Like the walk to the subway. Boy, oh, boy.
It's a sad one.
You got a lot of room on the subway now, so you'd probably be lying in the fetal position on.
No, for me, Gord, I go to my comfort food. I'm getting some pizza. I'm getting, you know, a street meat, something to make me comfortable after a loss like that. So then I would hit up the service after that. But regardless, yeah, exactly. We're just getting started here in Leafs Nation post game. Again, this is your therapy session, folks. If you want to tweet in at the Golden Muzzy at Gord Stellick, tell us how you feel, your thoughts going forward in this series. Don't forget, you got to stay positive. I know. For those of you who have followed our work, you know, we give it when it's worth it. But again, you got to be positive and not be pessimistic all the time. But again, a tough loss to swallow for the Maple Leafs, 4-3 in OT. Pierre-Luc Dubois was outstanding for Columbus, the hat trick for them. And again, don't forget game four, Friday night. So the back-to-back here with the Maple Leafs and Columbus. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick again, just getting started. We got the performer of the game presented by Dairy Farmers coming up. Sheldon Keefe, we'll hear from some of the players and hopeful to be joined by Chris Johnson of Sportsnet, Sportsnet.ca, and Hockey Night in Canada. You're listening to Leafs Nation Post Game here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Against the wall, and it's going to be launched high down into the Columbus zone. Trying to settle it down now is Kapanen, and drop pass, shot, scores! Nicky Robertson, the 18-year-old kid from Peterborough, has made it 3-0 with his first NHL goal.
There was so much talk about Robertson's ability to put it five-hole, hard along the ice, and this is a one-timer.
Ah, the good times earlier tonight to make it 3-1 for the Maple Leafs. Sadly, that's not how this game finished. The Maple Leafs lose 4-3 in OT here in Game 3, down 2-1 in this series. Game 4, Friday night. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick here on Leafs Nation post game on Sportsnet 590 The Fan at the Golden Muzzy at Gord Stellick if you'd like to chime in. I know Leafs Twitter rather hot right now. That is our performer of the game, brought to you by Dairy Farmers of Ontario and the high quality milk that's there, when you're working out, eating in, powering up, or kicking back. What can't milk do? And it's good to see the kid score his first NHL goal. I thought he was good in this one, Gordo.
Yeah, and that's the unfortunate part, Nick. This should be a nice story, an Ontario kid getting a goal, first goals in the playoffs, big Leaf win, hopefully is part of the catalyst to Leafs winning the series. And now you got a whole bucket of emptiness. But it doesn't,
sadly,
you know,
yes,
take away that particular milestone for him. And I love that he fires the puck on net. It's still something the Leafs didn't do in game number one. They've done a little bit more at times. They probably could do a little bit more. This guy, if you pass him the puck, don't worry about a return pass. He's going to shoot it on net. And you saw it today, and that was the one that got Korpisalo pulled because he wasn't quite ready for it.
Mm-hmm. That's our performer of the game, brought to you by Dairy Farmers of Ontario and High Quality Ontario Milk. So congratulations to Nick Robertson. But sadly, when he looks back, he'll be like, oh no, we blew the game. But again, series is not finished. Toronto down 2-1 in this series. Again, Columbus will be the home squad coming up Friday night, in which we'll have Leafs Nation postgame. Again, just getting started here on Leafs Nation postgame, by the way, Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick. We hope to hear from Sheldon Keefe. Seeing some of the quotes on Twitter, you'll want to hear that. I'd love to hear from some of the players, including John Tavares, whose giveaway led to the semi-breakaway goal by Pierre-Luc Dubois. But again, a lot to handle, but hopeful for some short memories from the Maple Leafs. And Gord, that start tomorrow is going to be pivotal because they got to play with purpose. They got to play with urgency. There's nothing you can do at this point in time. You know, Columbus feeling good. They had a great second half to that game and found a way to get the job done. You have to write history now if you're the Maple Leafs and start doing the job.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember like a press conference decades ago, and say it was, I could be wrong about all the particulars, but Patrick Roy, Rob Blake, Joe Sakic, and the Colorado Avalanche were behind the eight ball, maybe against New Jersey, but whatever. It definitely was the Avalanche. And there was an eerie calmness and understanding and determination and confidence in how they answered the questions. They were down 3-2 in the series, and they won it. Right. They went out and just did it. They just kind of said, OK, I'm going to answer the questions, but we understand what we have to do. And we didn't do it tonight and we intend to do it. And there was an element for the Leafs about that after game number one. I would assume, I hope it's the same. And really, that's what they got to do. God, you know, we can break down the minutiae of each goal about the ticky tack and the errors and little things. But no, it's not about that. It's about an overall malaise that happened at the worst time. And again, I go back to last year because this is, you know, there are a lot of guys who were on this team last year when they had that 1-0 lead over the Boston Bruins in that afternoon game in game six. And it wasn't that they lost the game. It was just that the same malaise happened. They kind of said, like, what? Did someone put something in their Gatorade? Like, all of it, like, this isn't the same team I saw get out and kick ass and have the Scotiabank, or at that time the Air Canada Center, roaring in that game against the Boston Bruins. Here there's no fans, which was probably fortunate for them tonight, but I don't know. What difference does it make? They lost anyway. I'm just trying.
I'm throwing darts at things. Right. You're right. No, that's fair. Let's do that. It is a therapy session, Gordon. It's almost like they need like a buzzer beater that clanks around a rim like a billion times by a guy named Kawhi Leonard. But you almost get that feel like, right? When the Raptors hit that shot last spring and Kawhi Leonard hit that shot, there was an ease in the air, like a feeling with the team that said, you know what, we can do this. But I think anytime it gets to an important game in the Leafs in the last 5, 6, 7, 8 years, it just seems like they crumble, Gord. And you got to find a way to get over that hurdle. I mean, again, it's so easy to get back to that conversation of the contracts. I totally agree with you. Good on you to get that money. Great on your agent to get you that dough. It's time to prove it. And, you know, proving it means in these big time moments, scoring that big time goal. You know, you look at guys last spring, Ryan O'Reilly steps up, Jordan Binnington earning every penny, earning a new contract. It's all about that. So, and these guys got swagger too. I mean, you look at Mitch Marner, Austin Matthews, John Tavares, Willie Nylander, they got swagger. It's time to prove your worth. And I don't know how many times we said that on the broadcast throughout this season, but it truly is. So I think you park this one. I know it's tough to swallow and it's tough to say, considering we're just a couple moments after this game. You got to park it and look forward and just be better, you know, from puck drop next game.
They had, you know, it's, and again, the last 2 years we had a look with disbelief about Nazem Kadri making a play that helped change the series. Now, that kind of play's not happened here. I don't expect it to happen. But the luck factor's an interesting point you mentioned. And again, you're kind of grasping at straws if you use that, but it's not, there is legitimacy to it. I think, you know, when all was going well and they were looking to make the playoffs, and it was a novelty to make the playoffs, and they beat Pittsburgh on that Saturday at home the last weekend of the season. You remember that? And Curtis McElhinney played phenomenal, and Sidney Crosby missed a wide-open net. You remember that? That could have been a difference maker. So so they got a break then, because the next night they had a weird schedule. They finished at home against Columbus the next night. It was a weird Saturday-Sunday home-and-home thing, and got him in the playoffs. But it kind of was their mini Kawhi break that helped make a difference, and tonight would have been one of those. But then you can say they probably got it on the Cody Ceci first goal, and then what did you do with it afterwards? I mean, you got a huge break on that shot by the least distinguished or expected scorer on a shorthanded play, so he's wiring it from just inside the blue line just to get it deep, and it hit Seth Jones, and you made the most of that break, and then you didn't. Then you gave it all back.
We're standing by for Chris Johnson, by the way, of Sportsnet, Sportsnet.ca, and Hockey Night in Canada, who took this one on at Scotiabank Arena. By the way, Rico writes in via Twitter, and thanks to everybody who's following along on Twitter, Leafs Twitter hot tonight. Should the Leafs change their lines or anything, Gord? What would you do?
Oh, man. Well, you know, he tweaked Mitch Marner for game two, and it seemed to work. To answer Rico's question is, you don't want to be desperate and go all over the place because of it. You still want to go who brought you to the dance. So, but this is part of it. This is, you know, best 3 out of 5. We're playing hockey in August, and part of it is reacting and on the bench and around the ice, like, you know, figure out who was going, who wasn't going, and, you know, maybe do some of that. But you don't want to change all four lines. I don't know. Do you move Clifford up because of his physicality a bit? I don't know. Or just show some, because really from the third period on, there was a little bit of juggling at times, and just nobody was going. I mean, they played 8 great periods as a team, and I got to say, together as a team, they played a terrible third period and got outplayed in overtime.
Well, Gord, as promised, we now bring in Chris Johnson of Sportsnet, Sportsnet.ca, and Hockey Night in Canada. CJ, thanks so much for hopping on here. What was it like to watch that unfold in an empty arena tonight?
It was weird, but it was still tense, you know, to be it. It's kind of strange, you know, it's 11 o'clock, 11:30. You're in a big empty arena watching $150 million worth of players play it out. It's a funny feeling, but, you know, it was edgy, and obviously there were chances at both ends that could have ended that game in OT. And, you know, this is a big moment for the Leafs. I don't think that we can put too fine a point on it. I know it's a strange circumstance. I know it's August. I know they're living in a bubble and it's only been 3 games, but this group has a reputation. And, you know, if they lose this series after blowing a 3-0 lead in game 3, after playing so well in game 2, you know, I think that there's going to be some really hard questions asked of the organization about, you know, the players that they've invested in. And, you know, you have to walk that line. I mean, it's only a couple games. It is unusual times, but this is the window where the Leafs are built to win. You know, this is the moment that, you know, next year is should be in no one's mind at this point. And so, you know, it's right there for them still. Obviously, winning 2 games in a row isn't that tall a task in theory, but we're going to learn something here in the next 24 hours.
Yeah, and I'm joining asking those questions because, you know, you've done this a lot. We've done this show for a lot of years together. 2013 in Boston is really distant history. Nobody on the team anymore. Nazem Kadri's gone. Jake Gardner's gone. Certainly it hurts if you're a Leaf fan. And then, you know, again, I game 6 got me last year, that Sunday afternoon game when they had a 1-0 lead, and then seemingly they shut the power off as a team. And you know, Chris, I'm baffled. They played 8 great periods, and then all of a sudden, just like in the third period in overtime, I agree with you. They got a chance to win 2 in a row, but boy, this is really watershed time. You got a lot of guys that can stand up and make a difference, and the guy that did it tonight was Pierre-Luc Dubois.
Well, and the time for growing up is supposed to be gone by, right? I mean, this is not about lessons at this point. You know, this is the moment that the Leafs are designed to win And so, you know, to have a 3-0 lead in a game like this, to have played as well as they did in bouncing back in game two, you know, I didn't even mind their game in game one. Didn't go their way, but you know, this one is going to be hard to process, and I'm kind of going back and forth about whether it's best that they've got almost no time to think about it. You know, go back to the hotel now, get a meal, sleep, have a meeting, and be right back in another game day. Now, that might benefit them in this case, or, you know, maybe they'll be so shell-shocked by what went on there, because, you know, truly, truly great teams don't blow those kind of leads in these moments. And, you know, as I said, it's going to be fascinating to see what happens next and how things work out.
You're right. Bottom line, they got to park this. I know it's tough to say. You got to look forward to game four, and that we do with the back-to-back. You know, I think we expect that Elvis Merzlikins is going to start that game. What a gutsy call by John Tortorella, though, eh? I mean, he pulls his goalie. Corpusalo had been great, and then next thing you know, he ignites Dubois, and Merzlikins, I thought, was pretty steady, although I don't think he was tested enough by the Maple Leafs. Would you agree?
No, he definitely was. And, I mean, in overtime, they did have their looks. You know, there was one point, you know, where Tavares drove to the middle, you know, Mikheyev follows him up, Nylander follows him up, you know, Merzlikins made a series of saves on those players. But, you know, I think they had about 3 shots on him for the first 10 or 15 minutes of playing time that he was in the game. You know, obviously he came in at 3-0, and teams tend to park the bus a little bit when you get that kind of lead in terms of not pushing for offense. But, you know, it worked out really well for John Tortorella, I imagine, and I didn't get a chance to be part of his interview post game, but, you know, I'm sure he was putting them in part, you know, to send a message to the team and the things you do when you switch your goalies. But it was probably also because of the fact that game four was coming the next day, and you might as well, you know, get some rest for Corpusalo and see what Merzlikins can do, give him the playoff experience. That was the first time he's ever been in a Stanley Cup playoff game, and, you know, he didn't let in a goal. So, you know, that worked out, that series of moves. For Columbus, you know, the Blue Jackets brought a better effort tonight than they had on Tuesday afternoon. And, you know, I think that's really probably what the messaging is going to be the least, that, you know, you can play a great game and lose. Their season might end tomorrow, even if they outshoot them 40-20. But, you know, I think the expectation is that it needs to be a more consistent effort, a more together team than what we saw in this game. And they got to give themselves a chance to at least extend this to a fifth game.
Yeah, and I mean, they've got solid goaltending, too. It's one thing if your goaltending lets you down. And you know, Chris, we did these postmortems after Game 7s was when a season was over. So, you know, trying to do it for tomorrow, I think it's better for the Leafs to get right back at it, to be honest. I think that's a positive for them tomorrow, even though both teams will be tired. But, you know, Nick and I aren't there. So when you break down the minutiae, if someone asked, would you do any tweaks lineup-wise, line-wise, anything like that? Like, when you're looking at the body of work over three games, is there anything that comes to mind for you?
Honestly, I don't really see one. Like, I don't see an obvious answer there. You know, I think that you're going to ask more of your top players, but, you know, the tweak they made by moving Marner up to Matthews' wing for game two, I think it's largely had the desired result. I think, you know, those guys have been pretty good since that happened. And, you know, I think Tavares and Nylander have worked better as a combination. You know, I guess where you'd like to maybe think about some changes is perhaps on the blue line, but, you know, with Jake Muzzin out, it's just a tough thing to do. And you know, certainly not an excuse because, you know, the Leafs are a pretty healthy team at the moment, but you can't help but think in a game like this where they're up 3-0, if Jake Muzzin was healthy, that he would have been playing a lot of those minutes as they were trying to shut things down. And you know, I'm sure that had some effect on what they were doing, but you know, I don't know that this is systemic or tactics. You know, I think what we're really questioning here is the mindset of this team, this group. And you know, Kyle Dubas addressed it before the playoffs. He said that they have a reputation; they know it. You know, no one is questioning their talent. We've seen a lot of these guys turn into some of the best players in the game individually, and you know, put up really impressive individual seasons with their point totals and things of that nature. But at the end of the day, it's about winning. And you just don't get that many chances in pro sports. You know, it's hard to imagine. They're all still young. You know, if they end up losing a series, it's not as though, you know, we're not saying their cup window's closed or anything like that. But you really don't want to let these opportunities go by you too easily, too quickly. Because, you know, they still haven't gotten, you know, beyond a round at this point. And so... Oh, this is fascinating. I mean, if you're into reality TV, I don't think anything's better than sports. And, you know, what we saw tonight, I'm still a little shocked by it, honestly. It's just, they looked like they were toying with the Blue Jackets to me for the first half of that game. You know, maybe that's not totally fair. You know, Jenner hit the crossbar. You know, there's a couple things that went Toronto's way as they built that lead. And it wasn't total domination, but, you know, it did feel as though they'd seized control of the game. And you know, Columbus is a team that really struggles to score. And so when they're down 3-0, that feels like they're down 7-0. You know, and just comparatively, because they don't have some of the offensive weapons. But, you know, the Leafs took their eyes off it. They didn't play a safe way and protect the puck and limit their mistakes. And here we are.
We'll see what they're made of coming up game 4 Friday night. CJ, thanks so much for this, and we'll talk on Leafs Nation post game tomorrow night. Thank you.
All right, boys, get some sleep.
Will do. That's Chris Johnson of Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca, and Hockey Night in Canada. And Gord, I can now say this because it's now 12:05 Eastern time. All I want for my birthday is a damn Leafs victory in game 4. So
it's
let's
your birthday
hope
today?
It. Yep.
Well, happy birthday regardless, because
I want that victory, Gord. That'll make it special for me.
Make or break it, but you know, it's funny. You know, just Chris covers the Leafs so extensively, and you and I do, but not day in day out like Chris does. And we're saying the same thing. Like we're trying. It's like parents getting together trying to talk about what's up with their kid. You know, and you know, quite often you have answers that he or she doesn't study enough. You know, he and she's getting into some drinking. I don't know what. I'm just throwing stuff out. But then sometimes you're just puzzled, right? And you're trying to figure it out, right? And that's more frustrating. And that's almost like Chris says, same thing. Like he's finding it shocking, and you and I the same thing about like I mentioned, it's like trying to give a police report about a crime scene and trying to remember all the details and kind of say, man, I still can't believe this happened.
And the amazing thing to me, Gord, as we get set for another break, is just, you know, more times in life when you know there's resistance, there's, you know, repercussions of, hey, we're not winning. I just don't feel it in Toronto. Like, do you think these guys feel pressure to win at all? They got the security of their contracts. They were given everything they wanted in free agency. They got every penny. I mean, is there that urge to say, hey, let's go after, let's win this thing? But again, you know, you got to earn respect. It's not just given to you. So again, I'm not going to count this team out just yet, Gord. You know, hopefully we're not doing the postmortem tomorrow night on my birthday about how the Maple Leaf season is complete. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. We're going to have a nice sleep tonight, and we're going to come back tomorrow, and the Maple Leafs are going to win game 4, and then we'll get set for game 5 on Sunday. How does that sound?
That sounds perfect. And, you know, it's say a challenge there. I mean, they're certainly up to it. I believe they can do it. I'm just still scratching my head.
It's perplexing, isn't it?
Like if you were driving home, your kid home, and not that you want to go into stuff with your kid after a hockey game, but it would be a quiet drive. It just would be like, if you're quiet driving home with a teammate, it just would be a quiet drive today.
Yeah, because, I mean, you wouldn't say much because you know you got to step your ass up. And John Tavares, you know, curious if we do hear from him to see what he says, because his muffin led to that OT winner by Pierre-Luc Dubois. So we'll see what's in store. It's fun to be talking hockey regardless in the month of August, but the Maple Leafs down 2-1 in this series after a 4-3 OT loss. A game, again, in which they were up 3-0. It's Nick Halberga and Gord Stellick at the Golden Muzzy at Gord Stellick. Other side, we'll try to hear from Sheldon Keefe, go inside the locker room as well and get more reaction from just this disappointing loss, a crushing loss for the Maple Leafs. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
It is Leafs Nation postgame here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I wish it was on a better note, but the Maple Leafs falling 4-3 in OT here to Columbus in game 3, down 2-1 in this series, and their backs against the wall. Game 4 in the back-to-back coming up Friday night. It's Nick Halberga and Gord Stellick at the Golden Muzzy at Gord Stellick. If you'd like to chime in on Twitter, some post-game reaction. It's time for that as we await word from Sheldon Keefe, but we'll go inside downstairs, whatever you want to call it. Here's Morgan Riley and John Tavares.
I'm just wondering where you think that game started to get away from you guys when you're up 3-0.
Well, when they got that goal, it just seemed to give them some life. And, you know, we just didn't do a lot of the things we did consistently over previously in game two, especially just kind of wearing them out in their zone. And obviously they got some life and some jump and started creating some transition opportunities, putting a lot of pucks towards the net. So, yeah, obviously when you got a 3-0 lead, you know, we have to find a way to close that one out. Is what it is. We have to push forward now and understand what's in front of us and regroup and have a big one tomorrow.
Next question from the media center.
Josh Kluber, the Canadian Press. Just the having to come back in less than 21 hours, John, how do you guys bounce back? Is it almost a good thing to have not a lot of time to think about this?
It is what it is. Whatever the circumstances are, obviously we understand what's facing us, so we got to regroup and understand the way we got to play and how desperate we got to be. So a lot of belief in our group, and whether it's obviously it's tomorrow, so we just got to do the best we can, recover, fuel up, and give everything we got tomorrow.
Next one upstairs.
Mark Masters, TSN for Morgan. Morgan, how do you feel the team handled the absence of Jake Muzzin tonight?
Yeah, I thought we did a decent job. Obviously, he's a big part of our team, and like I talked about the previous days, I mean, you can't really replace him. You can just have guys take on more responsibility, and I thought we had guys that did that. I thought the penalty kill was pretty good. So, obviously, we miss him still, but I think it's important that tomorrow we have guys, even rise to the occasion more, and then game five as well.
All right, there you have a dual podium from Morgan Riley and John Tavares. Pretty much stock answers, Gord. What else do you expect, you know?
Yeah, and Elliot Friedman tweeting just to the point. Chris Johnson said a 3-goal lead over Columbus is like a 7-goal lead because they have trouble scoring. It's the first time they've come back all season from a 3-goal deficit, Columbus, to tie a game.
Yep, so it's just there's something about this Columbus team the last two postseasons, right? They swept the Tampa Bay Lightning, and people forgot that Tampa was all over them in the first period, and they got the fortitude. They found a way. The coaching was there, so the Maple Leafs have to put this all together and maybe give Columbus a dose of their own medicine for game four on Friday night. Some more postgame. Nick Robertson, 18 years of age, his first NHL goal in this loss, and Mitch Marner, a dual podium.
You guys are up 3-0 midway through the second period. How do you explain what happened next?
Well, I mean, I think we had that great penalty kill. I think guys really showed urgency to get in lanes and block shots. A couple bounces here and there, and went to one of their guys to hit one of their guys' back door. I think from that moment on, we just got to keep cool, keep going, and then start the third. I mean, we had a power play there for a minute and a bit. We didn't generate anything. We gave them all the all the real credit there, and that's something that we got to change. We got to get way better at.
We'll take our next question from the media center.
This is Kevin from the Toronto Star for Nick. Nick, not the result you wanted tonight, but you scored tonight. Pretty good goal. A lot of people are very happy for you. How did it feel to score your first NHL goal, and you know what you're going to do with the puck?
Yeah, Cappy made a nice play, just turned up at the end of the shift, and I tried to get a shot off, and luckily it went in. Obviously, I was excited, but, I got to put that excitement away, and, we got to finish the period there, and obviously didn't get the result we wanted, so just hopefully we can be excited after tomorrow's game.
Next one from the media center.
Yes, for Mitch, it's Chris Johnson from Sportsnet. Given how quickly it is till game four, what sort of things are you guys saying to each other? What's the message to move past this?
Just erase it. I mean, we're a team that's been bouncing back all year from things that didn't go our way. We've always showed up the next game and played our hearts out. So we gotta get refocus, get ready. It's quick turnaround. We know that they're going to want to finish us out. We got to make sure that we're playing smart, playing above. We got to wait from that tonight and let them get too many odd man rushes. Kind of too flowy for them. It's something we got to clean up.
We'll take one more question from the media center.
Mark Masters, TSN for Mitch. Mitch, obviously the quick turnaround after a gut-wrenching loss. How would you describe the mental toughness of the team? You guys have been through a lot in the last playoffs, a few years. The scars have picked up. How would you describe the mental toughness of the group?
Like I just said, we've shown our resilience when we've had tough losses or haven't played the way we wanted to. Again tonight, we really let those guys have their way on rushes. Too many 3-on-2s, 4-on-2s. Freddie came up big for us many times. I think our forwards and D, we got to talk more and cover each other better and stay above. I mean, that's what that team does. They kill you on your turnovers. We gave them too many tonight, and they didn't miss on their opportunities when they had them.
Nick Robertson, the voice of Mitch Marner, who has one assist, by the way, in three games. He makes a lot of money. We're seeing some quotes on Twitter from Kyle Dubas heading into the series as well about the talent level of the group. Maturity was used, the mindset as well. But again, we'll see how the response is. And Sheldon Keefe spoke earlier as well, but echoing sort of the same sentiment scored as the players. They need to bear down here.
Yeah, they need to bear down. And, you know, Sheldon Keefe, interesting quote. We played with no purpose, made it up as we went along. We got what we deserved. So while we were extolling the virtues of a 3-0 lead, he's not happy the way his team played at all, which is interesting, which is interesting. Not mincing words that way. And and again, you know, Kyle Dubas said kind of that, was it the trade deadline? Just kind of that.
Yes. He didn't make any trades, remember? Yeah.
We didn't make any trades. And then it felt like we were doing a counseling session for him. He kind of came out and just, you know, honestly kind of vented or just talked about things and his dreams, his aspirations, his concerns, his whatever about the Toronto Maple Leaf team. And I don't know, it's just kind of like that right now. So Sheldon Keefe, not mincing words. It's on him. It's on the players, mostly on the players. And I like what Mitch Marner says. Mitch Marner says, look, we've had other setbacks this year, which they have. They were, a lot of them were unexpected. When Mike Babcock was fired, they would have been hard-pressed to make the playoffs in the old 16-team playoff. They still would have made the 24-team playoff. But when the pause happened, they were in the 16-team playoff. So it is true. They have bounced back in a small degree certain situations this year. But then, Nick, we go, how did these situations get created in the regular season? And now you got a big one here in the playoffs.
Yeah. Yep. So, I mean, we're almost at a point where there's not much else you can say, right, about trying to talk about the postmortem of this loss. It is just one loss in the grand spectrum. It is the fact that the Maple Leafs are now down 2-1 in this series, and we know it's a best of five. It's must-win time. Not even saying the cliche. They have to win or the season is complete. And not even to look to that point if they do lose, but just how sad, how disappointing to lose at this juncture, Gord. It's not even officially the Stanley Cup playoffs. Pretty much means you didn't make the playoffs. And to me, it's just unacceptable for the roster they have in place and for the words that have been said the last couple of years, right? So they all you can say, they got to bear down for game four coming up Friday night.
Yeah, personnel-wise, Columbus lost Artemi Panarin, Matt Duchene, Sergei Bobrovsky in the offseason. The Leafs have been building, and we've loved it. Fans have loved it. It's been exciting to see John Tavares come to town, Jake Muzzin come to town, the drafts they've been able to do. And you're on the verge of being beaten by the team that lost a lot of guys last year. So, yeah, and the three-goal loss last time in the playoffs was Game 7 against Boston, Nick. So, you know, that's one. The last couple of years, there's been disappointments, but it wasn't a three-goal lead that got blown again. I mean, it's just like if you're a Leaf fan, your head is just spinning from all these different ways they've seen the team lose, whether it's in a Game 7 or blow a three-goal lead.
Yeah, it's funny. You see that 3-2 goal go in, and you know, you can feel the collective hearts of Leafs fans you know, go into their stomach because you just knew it just seemed off. I mean, we've watched this Leafs team enough this season to understand and comprehend when they're not playing their best. And again, considering the way they came out, the lead they built up, and to just, I don't want to say pack it in, but the urgency wasn't there. And it's been a theme with this team for a long, long period of time. So I want to see some resolve. I want to see some fortitude from the Maple Leafs, and we all do, in hopes of tying the series back up and setting up a Game 5 in which the Maple Leafs, again, would be the home side for coming up on Sunday. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick. We'll wrap up Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan after this. Don't go anywhere.
We need to talk about what just happened. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
And two of the, and now the Blue Jackets have a break in over the line. They score! Pierre-Luc Dubois with the hat trick. And the Columbus Blue Jackets, on a turnover by Tavares and an odd man rush, have won the game in overtime.
salt in the wounds, and I thought it was interesting, Gord, the other night Connor McDavid scores the hattie. They had the hat ready to go, and nothing for Pierre-Luc Dubois tonight. Not that he cared, but he didn't get any hats for his hat trick tonight, and maybe it was just a time of the goal. A 4-3 OT win here for Columbus in Game 3 over your Maple Leafs, Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick. But full value to Dubois, Gord. I mean, especially people who don't watch hockey out of market, Pierre-Luc Dubois has been evolving for a couple years in Columbus, and I think has the luxury of having a coach who's going to teach him D first. He's going to be one of the better players in this league for a long period of time, isn't he?
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, the hats, because Svechnikov got a hat in Toronto. And
exactly.
They didn't throw hats.
Yeah.
So it seems in Edmonton, they had the couple of women that worked for NHL that threw the hats
yes.
for Connor McDavid's hat. Now, it was not an overtime winner, but anyway. And then yesterday, did you see the thing flashed up in Edmonton? Just, you know, thanks for watching, and please walk and leave your couch safely, right? Just kind of thing after the game. So
what a weird time though, eh, Gordo?
Yeah.
Like it's kind of cool to be doing the show with you, but we're in two different spots and there's nobody in the arenas. But all in all, I mean, how can you not be entertained, right?
Well, you know, these games, obviously, you know, the fan would be set up down there by the outside
yeah.
Scotiabank Arena. Sports bars would be jammed. You'd be doing it with friends and, you know, just family. And, yeah, so, I think almost this rubs a little more salt in it because of
yes.
this has been such a glimmering, bright ray of sunlight, what the NHL has accomplished in this bubble. And you're kind of saying, this is great. I'm loving the hockey. I'm loving all the hockey. I'm loving hockey being back and a lot of sports being back and the optimism it's brought. And you're thinking, okay, great. And now the Leafs, let's get back to where we left off and the expectations that they're going to win a playoff round, which means you got to first win the play-in round, then win a playoff round, and they're not playing the Boston Bruins and on and on and on. So it's funny. It's kind of a lonely sting for people. I don't know, before they could commiserate together, but now, you know, you're in a very small bubble or alone.
Yep, you got to stay optimistic, I think, if you're a Leafs fan, and look forward to a game four and playing a full 60. I love that cliche, and into OT if it gets there, but the Maple Leafs backs against the wall, and we'll see the response level from this team as we hear now, as promised, from the head coach of the Maple Leafs, Sheldon Keefe.
Hi, Sheldon. It's Chris Johnson. I'm wondering where you felt that game got away from you guys once you built the lead.
Well, I feel like the game just got away from us right from the start. I didn't like our game in the first period. I didn't like our game at 1-0. I didn't like our game at 2-0, 3-0. We just got what we deserved today. I thought we reverted back to a lot of really bad habits. We didn't have any real purpose or plan to our game today. We were just making up as we go along, so we get what we deserve.
Take the next one upstairs.
Josh Clipper with Canadian Press. Sheldon, how do you explain that after such a great performance in Game 2?
Tough to explain. That's part of the deal, right? That's why it's a playoff series, and every day is a new day, just like it was after Game 1, just like it was after Game 2, and just like it is here. So we've got this behind us, ready to come back tomorrow.
Next question.
Mark Masters, TSN. Sheldon, what are you going to learn about your group over the next 24 hours? What's it going to take to bounce back from this?
Yeah, we're going to learn a great deal, but I think we've already learned this. I mean, we've been through adventures like this with this team before. We've always come back with a great performance, so tomorrow will be no different.
We'll take two more from the media center. Next question.
Hey, Sheldon, obviously some increased responsibility for Travis Dermott tonight. Wondering how you thought he fared in that role.
I thought that as a team, we didn't help our defense as a group, and as a group, our defense didn't help themselves.
Last question upstairs.
Sheldon, what message will you leave to the group heading into Game 4 on Friday night?
Well, I've already talked to the team here today and talked, you know, just really just reiterate the things we were talking about the entire game, that we weren't playing with any real plan or purpose. It caught up with us, but it's over now. We've got to regroup here. This is what playoff hockey is all about. The emotions, the swings of momentum. It's the best part of playoffs here. So a chance to regroup and come back at it tomorrow and be a better version of ourselves than we were today is an exciting part for me. So we'll get to work on that.
pretty much all you can say if you're Sheldon Keefe, and you move forward and look forward to game four of this series, the Maple Leafs up against it, down 2-1 in this series. Gord, your expectation as we look ahead to what's going to happen on Friday night?
Well, you know, it's interesting. His comments, they had no plan or purpose from the word go. I mean, we were on the first and second intermissions talking about a team that, in our opinion, because we're not on the inside on the bench, had played eight straight solid playoff periods. So, you know, he had a bad feeling. He smelt it. And this team has to play with a plan and a purpose and heart and grit and all that stuff. And someone's got to rise to the occasion like Pierre-Luc Dubois did for Columbus. And
yeah,
we all know that. We all know that.
It was a foul smell, and Gord, we hope for a good smell. Coming up Friday night, we'll have Leafs Nation postgame. That's when we'll talk next, okay?
Sounds good. Looking to hope it's not the last time.
Yeah, I hope so, too. That's professional broadcaster Gord Stelic, always bringing it. Many thanks to Show Ali, J.R. Manitat, Josh Santos, and Sam McKee. I'm Nick Alberga. Thanks so much for listening, and let's stay positive. Let's hope for a victory in Game 4 to set up a Game 5. We talk Friday night. Take care.